Welcome to Timbuktu. I had a great time with Tim Cook and Brian Babcock out at Malcolm Eaton discussing Eats and Beats. This has been 5 years now, and they have so many great things that are going to take place when they have it this weekend at the Arts Plaza. Let's take a listen. I'm here with Tim Cook, Executive Director, and Brian Babcock, Community Liaison of Malcolm Eaton. And we are here today to talk about 2024's Eats and Beats. Hello, guys.
How's it going?
How are you doing, Tim?
Good. Welcome. Eats and Beats is Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. And how did the creation of Eats and Beats come about?
We talk about this quite a bit. This is actually year number five. And the original Eats and Beats, we were kind of talking about this morning, actually was in October of that year. It was really, really hastily put together. It was kind of an ambition. We had to start our own fundraiser. And we put this together in 3 months, I think, our first year. October, not the optimal outdoor month for festivals. We learned that the hard way. Real quick on that, we ran downtown, set up real quick. This was outside the Wagner House, blocked down from where they used to have music on Chicago. And horrible sleet and rain came in, and we tore everything down and went over to the American Art Garage that Larry Pitsley had. Mm-hmm. He had a space in there where he stored cars over the winter, and we hastily set things up there for year number one. And I think it rained several inches that day. Mm-hmm. It was cold. It was miserable. We had all kinds of complications with power requirements, things we never even thought about. And then we decided we were going to go back to the original location on that Saturday. And I think snowflakes rolled in. It never got above about 42 degrees. Everybody was cold and miserable. And we made the best of it. But that was kind of how this started out in October.
Like Tim said, we pulled the first year together in about 3 months. I think knowing what we know now, having done the event 5 years before, if somebody was to approach me and say, hey, we'd like to do a food and music festival in 3 months, I would tell them that's pretty much impossible. Fortunately, at the time, we didn't know that yet. So we went ahead and kind of muddled through. In terms of raising money or having the largest crowds, the first year certainly wasn't a success by those measures. But I think for the 50 to 60 people that were there on that first day, man, that was such a fun time.
It was fun.
If you wouldn't have had me, you'd have 59 because I was there. Yes, I remember that.
So Danielle Rogers helped us out that year. She had some experience with kind of booking bands and setting festivals up. So that did help us at least move forward with it because we really had no idea what we were doing. And, we got a couple cool bands. We thought we got mm-hmm. one from Chicago that was kind of alternative rock and mm-hmm. let's try this. And it was fun and we had a great time. And I think everybody that went really, really enjoyed it, but it was somewhat of not a scripted festival for sure.
Now that you have it all squared away, squared away and ready to go, Brian, if I'm listening to this podcast, if I'm listening to Timbuktu and someone's like, I want to go to this, what is this all about? Give me the concept of it. First of all, it's only like $4 for adults. It's $2 for 6 to 17 and kids 5 and under are free. When I walk in, what is this all about?
Well, the main point, we wanted to keep the event affordable because we want people to come to the event. The main purpose for the fundraiser is to help local nonprofits in our community have an opportunity to raise some additional funds. So we want a large crowd. We want that crowd to arrive with a bring a group and come hungry because the only way that the nonprofits make money or the primary way that they make money is by selling food. So by keeping it affordable, we want everybody from the community to come out and support this. We want them to support all the food booths. All that money stays with the nonprofit groups.
Now, when you say food booths, how many food booths? You don't have to list them all, of course, but how many food booths will you guys have at this?
We usually have 10 to 12 different agencies that come in, and some do partner with some local restaurants, bars, whatnot. They work together and kind of operate those spaces and split the proceeds. But right now, I think we've got 10 or 11 this year. A lot of the same players year after year. They've been great about coming back and, you know, variety of food. I mean, everything from pork chops, hamburgers, nachos to One booth does cotton candy. I mean, there's a wide variety that's listed on our Facebook page, what's available there. So
as you talk about this, we talk about the food, there's the eats. Well, let's talk about the beats. Who are you going to have this Friday and Saturday?
Well, on Friday, we start things off with Ukulele Express. They are a Freeport group. Definitely, as far as music groups go, they very much fit with the spirit of Eats and Beats. Ukulele Express 815, they play a lot of local shows in Freeport, and they collect donations, which they distribute to a number of different nonprofit organizations. I know there was a time, I think, last year where they supported Malcolm Eaton Enterprises and raised some money for us. So we're going to start out with them. And then on Friday night,
Backed by popular demand,
the usual suspects again. So we had such a tremendous outpouring of positive response from that. We had so many people ask us, can you get them back again? We had to ask, and we were thrilled that they said yes.
Right. I mean, they don't necessarily just come back for gigs.
Well, they've got their other band that they do. So really to line up and get schedules to work, we were really, really fortunate, because I do know that they were in a Saturday. They also play a different band that they're in. So Friday we have them back, and we've had a lot of questions and a lot of really positive support for that group to come back. I mean, they've been around for a long time and they have a really big following for the area.
Well, I'll just say this. I was at the Usual Suspects at Eaton Beats last year, and Tim and Beck, the two of us, danced all night long. So you guys have to come down and see those guys. So you have Friday, come back down on Saturday. Who do you guys have on Saturday?
Saturday is going to be a really fun day. We actually have somebody that I think maybe you even had as a student back at Freeport. Is that not true? Maybe not.
Yes. No, he was. He was the lead in my musical Grease as Danny Zuko.
There you go.
And he is a very good friend of mine.
Going to be great. His name is Ryan Casey. He's local, coming back to the area. He's been doing music for a lot of years. I used to see him once in a while, even down at Canova's when he would come into town and perform there. So he is coming back for us to open that night for none other than a Taylor Swift tribute act that we have brought in out of the Chicago area called Sparks Fly. And if you have a chance to look at some of their information, they're pulling some really, really large crowds, of course, with the popularity right now of Taylor Swift. We're trying to get a lot of people to come back in. This is a definitely an event that's become a pretty family friendly event with Paint the Port kind of wrapped around it on front night. And so it's really, really kind of taken off that way. And we're trying to get that whole crowd back down again on Saturday.
Now, rumor has it, this Taylor Swift experience, the Sparks Fly, you said has been drawing big crowds. There's a lot of buzz already around Freeport about this group coming in on Saturday. Am I right on that?
I hope so. We would love to have a big crowd. Again, the more people we can get to attend our event, the more people are eating, and the more food that the nonprofits sell, the more money that they take. So we would love nothing more than to get a big crowd and to help all those nonprofits sell all their food.
I have had a lot of people approach me to ask about this band, and definitely that's what we're going to go down and see Saturday. That's something that's really appealing to us, and people are excited about it. So they're pretty good quality. We've watched a lot of their stuff. They've got kind of a rotating lineup. It looks like they do things first class, and so anxious to have them in the area for that night.
Well, the neat combination of Freeport bands, area local bands, and bringing this individual in. How difficult is it to get things scheduled for Eats and Beats?
We learned a lesson there too. We would see these bands and think, wow, that's great, we should get them next year. And if you are not on that probably 8 to 10 months, even a year out, you will not get that band. I mean, a lot of these summer festival type bands get booked well in advance. And we kind of learned that lesson the hard way with some of the places that we were looking. But I want to say we booked this music at least 8, 9, 10 months ago for both these.
So as you get ready for Eats and Beats on August 23rd and 24th, what are questions that you think people want answered from our community when it comes to the idea of why should I come down? Why should I participate in this both nights? Why should I be a part of Eats and Beats?
Well, I think number one, it's a very affordable event. So if you have a large group or you have a number of kids that you're going to bring with you, it's going to be affordable. And the other thing too is all of the money that you're spending inside of the event, 100% of that is going directly out to nonprofits in our community. So that's something that I think people can go It's an affordable outing, and it's also one that's going to support and help people in your community.
Speaking of support and help, there are people that are, there's group or groups that are helping you. Do you have anything to say to us about the concept of support or a big sponsor or something like that?
Yeah, so we've got several different sponsorship levels for the organization. And as this event's been well supported over the years, I think this year, if I recall, Brian, we're around 60 sponsors.
Yep.
Ranging, I think we've got four or five different category levels. This year, we did for the first time have a group step up and do our largest sponsorship, which was Inertia out of Freeport. I don't want to get into naming everybody off, but there's just a great group of people at all different levels. I know Brian really, really does a good job plugging those on our Facebook page. And again, that's the first year we've had now this largest category for sponsorship level. But we've had so many people that have just year after year been there to support us. We put everything on the back of the shirts we do for the events. Mm-hmm. It's all there. We'll have it very, very, you know, available at the festival site for us. So Brian, what else do you want to say with the sponsors? I know it's been a tremendous turnout again this year.
Yeah, it's we're really honestly very humbled to have the support that we do from businesses in our community. As Tim said, we had 60 sponsors this year, which is a record for us. The support each year continues to grow, and we're very appreciative and thankful for that.
Well, okay, you said something that gets me excited, and you say shirts, because the idea, I still have my first Eats and Beats shirt. I still wear it all the time. It's the softest, most wonderful shirt. I tell Becky, do not mess with this shirt. I love this shirt. So are these shirts available for sale down there? Do you have that merch down there?
Yeah, we will have a limited number of them for sale. Of course, most of the shirts go to sponsors. That is one of the sponsorship awards, but there will be a number of them for sale at the event.
Kind of a different shirt this year. We'll surprise you a little bit when you see it on site. Or are you going to post some photos maybe on the Facebook?
I think when we get a little closer to the event, we might post some. But yeah, we're going a little bit outside the box this year. But still, it's going to be the same high quality, soft shirt. We're definitely committed to that.
High quality and soft.
It's fun to see those shirts year after year and see them out at different things. I went downtown this past weekend to Music on Chicago and actually saw several of the Eats and Beats shirts on people who were attending that event. So that was kind of cool to see as well.
I'm proud to say I've lost a few pounds, and every pound I lose, that shirt feels better on me.
They're great. You're right. They're great shirt. Brian designs all those, and they're really, really enjoy every year to see the new shirt designs.
Well, before we end, I just would like for both you guys, what final words do you have regarding Eats and Beats? You put a lot into this. Tim, let's start with you. Why is Eats and Beats so important to you?
So this is probably the thing that I like to talk about with Eats and Beats the most, other than it's just a great fun weekend to see everybody again, is this is, again, an event. It's a collaborative event. It's got 10 non-for-profit groups. It fluctuates. There's years where there's more. And all of this money is shared amongst the community for some great, great organizations. And so just to have something that's supported by so many groups at one point in time and see what it does for the community and what it does for these organizations. I probably am a little off on this number, but I know each group probably had over a couple $1,000 that they made over the weekend, and some did even better than that. So beyond the food sales, dividing up some of the gate admission and some other support money that comes in, some of the sponsorship money, it's just really, really nice to have that group year after year come back together and get this involved in this event and make it a wonderful weekend for Freeport. So it's just great to see the festival grow every year, and we look for this many years to come.
Brian?
You know, the same thing that Tim said. I think last year we raised over $19,000 that was distributed to local nonprofits in our community. That's really the spirit of the event. We want it to be fun. We want it to be affordable. We want it to be memorable. But at the end of the day, we really do want to support all of the hardworking nonprofits that choose to participate in the event.
I'll tell you, Eats and Beats, it's always a good time. It's always wonderful. And it's at the Freeport, Illinois Arts Plaza on Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. Tim Cook, Executive Director, Brian Babcock, Community Liaison of Malcolm Eaton. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Eats and Beats is going to be a blast. I hope everybody in this community not only goes down and listens to all of the great music, but eats as much as they can from all of our friends that are down in the Arts Plaza trying to make a little money for their groups. Don't forget, Every Tuesday, we'll have new interviews. And on Thursday, we'll have free pod dropping. Thanks to Jim Yeager and the HCC Communications Department. And more importantly, thanks to all of you. Because guess what? Our community's great because you're in it. This has been Tim Beck 2. So long, everybody.